Well, today I want to talk on a positive note about God, about our Lord, about our Savior. We need some positive words, don't we? All of us, most of us here today are Christians. We're believers in Christ. Probably if I asked for testimonies today, most all of you would stand and say, I am a Christian. I'll tell you when I was saved. You could give a testimony. And it'd be a wonderful time just for us to do that. Most of us are probably Christians already. Maybe some are not yet. But there's so many negative things in the world to drag us down, to pull us down, to hold us down. I get depressed, and probably you do too at times, over all the things going on in our world. Just so many things we're not used to, and things that are making it real difficult for us, some of us, even to maintain our faith. You know, on our money, there's a motto. And what is it? On every coin, and I licked my finger, didn't I? I can't get them things out without licking my finger. There's no way. Anyway, this is a dollar bill. And on that dollar bill, what does it say? In God we trust. And I could have got out all the other coins and that might be in my pocket, or you could too, and you'd find that in all of our money, there is in God we trust. We take it for granted sometimes. I know I don't ever notice that too much, except I am today thinking about the fact that our coins have in God we trust. In God we trust. As a matter of fact, it was first of all on a coin back during the Civil War. First time in God we trust. Things were so bad in the Civil War, and so they decided to put it on the currency because they realized they needed God's help so bad. So that's the first time. It was 1864. The first capitalized form, In God We Trust, on a 2-cent piece in 1864. It's appeared on all of our paper money since 1957. And it was when Dwight D. Eisenhower, you remember Ike? We used to wear a pin that said, I like Ike, if you did. But anyway, they're collector's items nowadays. President Dwight Eisenhower, July the 30th, 1956, required that In God We Trust be put on all American money, all currency. The following year, the phrase was used on paper money for the first time. The 84th Congress later passed legislation signed by President Eisenhower, July the 30th, 1956, declaring the phrase, In God We Trust, to be our national motto. I'm proud of that. There are some who are not, but they did a survey and they found that about 90% of Americans are pleased with its own, our currency. In God We Trust. I want us to think about that today, and why should we trust God? I mean, we say we trust God, we're trusting in Him, we're depending upon Him, but what is there about God that makes us realize we ought to trust Him? And I've got 5 or 6 scriptures I want to share with you, so you may want to write them down in your Bible or on something there that will help you as you think about God and how wonderful He is and that we can trust Him. The first scripture is the book of Proverbs, and this is a very familiar text. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Notice the next verse. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Adam, put that first verse back up there, and Let's just say these verses together. They're very helpful, and we'll say some of them, and sort of by saying them, maybe it'll mean more to us. Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we're to trust in him, depend upon him, rely on him in all times of our life. So there are about seven things. Why should we trust God? Number one, if you're taking notes or trying to keep this in your mind, number one, because nothing is too hard for God. Do you believe that? I mean, we believe in God, don't we? We believe in what the Bible reveals about God, and nothing is too hard for him. The scripture we're going to look at is Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. This is a wonderful text. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. In verse 17, Jeremiah prayed unto the Lord and said, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. That's what we believe about God. And in Jeremiah's prayer, as he prayed this, he acknowledged to God that nothing was too hard for him. Nothing too hard for thee. And then again in verse 26 of Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 26, Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God asked the question of Jeremiah, Is there anything too hard for me? And then in the verses after that, he goes on to show Jeremiah that nothing is too hard for him. As a matter of fact, he's even going to tell Jeremiah that I'm going to allow the Babylonians to come and take all of my people, the Jews, and destroy them and put them into captivity and all of that sort of thing. But God says, I'm the one in control. I have all power. I'm so powerful in the world. And I have the world in my hand. We need to remember that in these days, that God is so powerful. Nothing is too hard for God. Just think about some of the things that God has done. The most wonderful thing, and beyond all imagination, is that he created this world, this universe, out of nothing, just by speaking it into existence. When we think about God, how can there be any being greater than that? He's created everything. And then you could go through all the things that he did in the Old Testament, from the parting of the Red Sea, all of the various things that he did for all of his people. I mean, just go through the whole Bible and notice all the things that God has done. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is all-powerful today. Nothing is too hard for God. Number two, we trust in God because he is our good shepherd. Now, all of you know that verse over in the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. As a matter of fact, we could say that together, couldn't we? Repeat the 23rd Psalm. Let's do that right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is our good shepherd. And David, when he wrote that psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," making it very personal. And my relationship with God is personal. Your relationship with the Lord is personal, and it should always be that way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knows his sheep. Matter of fact, he calls his sheep, and they understand and they respond to him. In John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and they come to me. And he also, in John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus says, "The good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep." So think of God as your good shepherd. He is worthy of your trust. Number three, because he is our helper. He is our helper. Proverbs 1:21, and I love this psalm, and Psalm 121, not Proverbs, but Psalm 121. And this is one of our favorite psalms as well. 121. Let's read it together. I'll get you all involved like modern preachers sometimes do. Let's say it together. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day. Boy, he almost smit me yesterday, but I'm glad he didn't. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 121, he is our helper. The fourth thing, the fourth reason we ought to trust in God, as our money says, we trust in God, because his mercies are new every morning. I love to think about that. That verse is in Lamentations, and you have to go to Jeremiah in your Bible, and when you get to the end of Jeremiah, you come to Lamentations. It's always been hard for me to find that book sometimes. Of all the books of the Bible, it's a little bitty book. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, and it's usually called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. A lamentation is, oh, how sad, oh, how sorrowful, oh, things are bad, oh, me. Like on Hee Haw, they always said, no, if I didn't have any luck, bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. You remember them singing that song on Hee Haw years ago? Well, Lamentations, that's a lament. That's what the book, the title means. Well, in chapter 3 of Lamentations, verse 22 says this, "It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I had thought we might sing that hymn, but we didn't sing it this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, and it's based upon this scripture, upon this verse. They are new, his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We could sing it, Carolyn, couldn't we? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Boy, that's a beautiful song based upon the scripture in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. Then the fifth reason that we can trust God is this: because he knows all about us. Now, you know, they say that wisdom is knowing yourself. Well, there's a sense in which that certainly is true. But most of us don't really know ourselves very much. But God knows us. And the scripture is Psalm 139, Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me, and you have known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You understandeth my thoughts afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but you, O Lord, you know it all together. You have beset me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. And then David writes, whither shall I go from thy presence? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, there you are. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yes, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. That's an old word. We don't use that word in that way anymore. It means the innermost part of your being. Reins were kidneys. Were kidneys. Some of y'all know about kidneys and stones and so forth. Well, thou hast possessed my reins, which was the way of saying it in that day. You have possessed my innermost being, my innermost self. And so they use that term. You have covered me even in my mother's womb. We won't read all those verses, but they're all wonderful, and you want to go back and read them for yourself, because he knows all about us. Then number six, Isaiah chapter 40. Boy, this is a wonderful verse. Isaiah chapter 40. Y'all know it very well, but we'll look at it together. Isaiah, Jeremiah, yeah, there is Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Look at the scripture. Hast thou not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to those that have no might, He increases strength. And then these verses, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Boy, that is a precious verse. Remember way back in the 1950s, Stuart Hamlin, who wrote the song, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. He also wrote a song about this, and I had the first album that he ever put out. I've still got it. It's all scratchy. I played it so much. But I love to hear Stuart Hamlin as he sang, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to wait. Boy, that brings back a memory to me that you all would not have about me. But way back about 1960, I had just surrendered to preach. And me and some other guys at Decatur Baptist Junior College, we wanted to go and preach on the street. And one of the boys had an old 49 Ford. Remember what they looked like? It was a black 49 Ford. And he put a speaker up on the top of it. And we went down to Decatur, and we went to Boyd, and we went to Rome and these little towns. And we'd go and park on the street down there, and we'd play some songs and then take a microphone and preach. I don't remember whether anybody ever listened too much. It seems like in my mind, some would look at us as we would walk up and down the streets. But we felt like in those days we wanted to get the word out and tell the whole world about Jesus. And I remember I had my old record at that time by Stuart Hamlin, and I put it on, and I remember playing that song as well as some others that were on that particular record. Good memories to me. Wish I had that kind of zeal again and get out on the street and preach for the Lord, and I should. He makes us strong. And then number 7, I'm talking about reasons that we ought to trust in God. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14. Isaiah 49, verse 14 through 16. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forsaken me. Sometimes we feel that way. We feel forsaken. Sometimes when we're real sick, when sometimes our loved ones are very sick. I know my cousin talked to me last night, his wife, and she said, the doctor said, I'm probably positive. He didn't check me, but he said, you're probably positive also with it. And she said, I can't even go to the hospital. He's up there on a ventilator, very critically ill. And she says, I can't even visit him. And she said, it's so hard. I feel forsaken sometimes. And Ann and I said, well, Beverly, let us pray for you. And so we prayed for her over the phone and for him. Well, sometimes we feel the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Look at verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Isaiah said, a mother usually will not forget her child, but sometimes a mother will, and says, I am not like that. I can never forget you. They may forget, yet I will never forget you. Look at verse 16. Behold, I have engraved you upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So that one wonderful word, God will never forget, no matter what happens in your life or in mine. I love to read books by Philip Yancey. He's one of my favorite authors, next to my own son. But he likes Philip Yancey too. And some of you all have read his books in years past. This is what he said about faithfulness. I have learned that faith means trusting in advance that which will only make sense in reverse. You think about that. I have learned that faith means trusting in advance that which only makes sense in reverse. As we look back and we can see, great is thy faithfulness, and we can trust in him. There's another psalm, Psalm 147 and verse 11, which says this, the Lord delights or takes pleasure in those who put their hope in his unfailing love. I want to look in closing at a couple of scriptures in the New Testament. We're familiar with those Old Testament passages. And we've said today that we can trust in the Lord because nothing is too hard for him. He is our good shepherd, and he will take care of us forever. He is our helper. His mercies are new every morning. We can trust him because he knows us. He knows all about us. We can trust him because he will make us strong. He's promised to do that. Even in our weakness, we will gain strength from him. And because he can never forget us. Well, in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing this to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. This is what he says. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Boy, I love that verse. Why don't you say that with me? You may be needing to say that out loud today. It may be that in your life you're going through some things that you're beginning to wonder whether you're ever going to hold up or not. Let's say that together. I know whom I have believed, there it is, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, praise God. That's one of the most wonderful verses. One of the verses we have for Bible school, and we're going to have our visual Bible school, which starts the last Sunday night of this month. But it is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And that's the theme of the whole week, Philippians 1, 6. And it says, I know that the one who that has begun a good work in me will finish it until the day of Christ Jesus, or will complete it. And so it's the whole idea of building a structure. And says, God has started a work in my life, and he is not going to finish until he gets it completed. And we believe that. I mean, that is where our faith lies. It is not altogether dependent upon our strength and holding on, holding on. Certainly we hold on to God's unchanging hand. We do, and we need to do that. But I recognize I hold on and then I let go, and then I kind of hold on and I go weak. But he holds on to me, and he is the one who will never let us go. And so Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, the one who has begun a good work in me will actually complete it. He will work and keep on and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, which is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, notice what it says. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, we're not too sure. The Apostle Paul says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Isn't that faith and trust? I hope that you can say that. You can say that. That I can say that. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me. He will preserve me. Some of y'all are canning these days and you're preserving things. You put it in a fruit jar and preserve it. The Lord will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Paul had that kind of faith. He knew the one in whom he had believed, and he was persuaded that the one in whom he had believed would keep him safe until the end of time, until all eternity. And so he says, the Lord will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, and to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. That's the kind of faith I want to have, and I do have it. Sometimes my faith is strong, sometimes my faith is weak. I'm just like you are, and you're just like me. But we hold to his hand, and more importantly, he holds to our hand. So when you get your money out today to wherever you're going or whatever you're going to do, and you see in God we trust on it, think of these points that we made today. Why can we trust in God? We can't trust in the money that it's on. We can't trust in mammon, as it's called in the Bible. We can't trust in that. It's these days, some of it looks like it's going and we can't ever get it back, doesn't it? Such trouble in our economic times. But we can trust in God, and that's more important than any money or land or anything else. Nothing is too hard for him. He is our good shepherd. He is our helper. His mercies are new every morning. He knows all about us. He makes us strong when we are so weak. And he can never forget us. He will never, ever let us go. You know, I'm so grateful that we're having our Bible school. And looking forward to that. I know we're going to be recording all of the things right after the service today. And some of us will be staying here all afternoon, and we'll be recording all these Bible studies and things right here today. But one of the things that I'll be doing is presenting the plan of salvation to the children. That's my part. And I'll be telling all the children what I'm telling to you. Really, as we think about the plan of salvation, we talk about the ABCs, don't we? The A means what, children? Admit. Evelyn, you knew that, didn't you? Admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we must believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. So we must admit that we need him, that we are lost, and we all are. We hear about Jesus, hear about all that he was and all that he did, hear that he died upon the cross for our sins, paid the penalty for our sins, paid the price for our sins. He did all of that for us, and that what we must do is believe in him and receive him. And so we'll talk about believing. And then we'll talk about C, which is confessing. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Paul says in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that what? God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's so simple that a child can understand it. And later on, when we get to be in our 80s or 90s or 100, our mind gets dull and hard of understanding, and we can understand it even then when we get in our second childhood. Admit that we're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Follow Him. Repent of our sins. Follow Him. Confess Him as Savior and Lord. Be baptized and follow Him and become a part of His kingdom. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear Lord, for the privilege of being here today and standing in this place that I love so much and sharing the wonderful things about You. Trust in God. In God we trust. And Lord, we do. We are a body of believers. We're not a body of doubters. We're a body of believers. We believe in You. We trust in You. And I pray, Father, that during this invitation time, if there is someone here who has never made their commitment to Christ, to You, that they will do so even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.